At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The Pips, the Players, the Hustlers, the Podcasters, the People, the Bustlers, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. It's a Twisted Tuesday edition of the program. And of course, we've got a lot of football to talk. Major League Baseball pennant chase is in full swing right now. NHL preseason hockey has begun, and the National Hockey League regular season is around the corner. CFL playoffs around the corner. There was a lot of news earlier in the week about CFL changes to the game, and all the league got a major announcement. And there has been some pretty significant changes to the game for the most part, as far as the size of the field and a couple of tweaks to the rouge rule that will hit. Andrew McKinnis will step up and in a little bit later on. We've got the Ranger Reddit, Cam Stewart, and of course we've got Rick Saratella in the shadows of MetLife Stadium, where terrible football continues to be played. And Rick, you and I have spent a lot of time talking New York Giant football over the years, and Brian Daboll and the quarterback situation there and the entire outlook of the team. And I get that nobody thought that the Giants are going to be competing for a playoff spot this year, or there wasn't any talk about how the Giants were going to be sleepers and watch out for the Giants this year. But at the same point in time, that's almost the problem, isn't it? In that this team is just going nowhere. They're spinning their wheels. They don't get better. We can talk about the talent that they have. It doesn't produce anything. And I got to wonder, at what point, like, why does Brian Daboll deserve this leeway? Like, he's some sort of great coach and it's everybody else's fault. When I look on paper, the New York Giants oftentimes have more talent and better players than the teams that they are playing, yet they still lose all the time, Rick. This really is almost just like a hopeless situation of despair. Like, this team is not getting better. I don't think Brian Daboll is ever going to turn a corner with them. And you know what? In the past, I thought, well, you know what? It's this, it's that. I think they need a change there. I think they need a new general manager. They need a new coach.
It's a shame we're talking about blowing up the team again in just a short period of time, but you know, you heard Brian Daboll this week. Obviously, he's feeling the heat, and he did not come out and declare Russell Wilson was going to be his starter this week, and he's done that in previous weeks. He's been pretty clear, hey, Russell Wilson's going to be our starter. He was not so adamant about that during Monday's press conference, right? And so that tells me that it's time to make a change, that he's actually now thinking about making a change. And the irony here, Gabe, is like Jackson Dart is Brian Daboll's handpicked quarterback. And now he's in danger of losing his job because of his ego and his stubbornness. And he promised Russell Wilson that he was going to start. And the Giants guaranteed him $22 million. They wanted to get more return on their investment. But sometimes you've got to go by what your eyes tell you and cut your losses. And the Giants have an evaluation problem too upstairs in the front office. They can't evaluate talent. They can't evaluate quarterbacks. And you look at what Indiana Jones was doing in Indianapolis. They decided to build around him over Saquon Barkley. Then they decided that Daniel Jones is not the answer. Then they decided Russell Wilson was going to be their starter. This is a guy that Pittsburgh moved on from, that Seattle moved on from, and he's just old. He's not able to read defenses, Gabe. Okay, he's a one-read progression. And earlier in his career, he was able to run around, throw on the move. He's slower now. And I'm telling you, I don't think Russell Wilson can read defenses. And the other thing is, it's never Russell Wilson's fault. It's always the other player's fault. It's always the wide receiver's fault. No, it's Moonball Russell Wilson. That 2-minute series down at the goal line at the end of the game, 4 incomplete passes. He's thrown it in the third row of the stands. He's hitting the crossbar. I mean, you and I can do that. So the time has come to put Jackson Dart in the saddle. He played very good in the preseason. You traded up back into the first round to identify this guy. I don't understand what the reluctance is. And boy, oh boy, I mean, Brian Daboll could be fired after this week.
Well, that's it. Some people, and the thought is that Brian Daboll started Russell Wilson because, quote unquote, he's coaching for his job and he's trying to win games and all that type of stuff. But Russell Wilson doesn't really give you a good opportunity to win football games, right? Like Jackson Dart would actually give you the same opportunity, if not a better one, just because of the unpredictability factor, because of the youth and, you know,
mobility. That offensive line is terrible.
Yeah. Bring his legs to the table. But what I don't like about it is, so now it's Russell Wilson's fault. Before it was Daniel Jones's fault, right? At the end of the Eli Manning run, it was Eli Manning's fault. They were booing him, and they wanted Daniel Jones. And, you know, hell, they busted his streak up so Geno Smith could start a football game. It's always the quarterback's fault. Like, it's, and you talked about it. People in Wilson's world, it's never Wilson's fault. But at what point is this Dable's fault? And as you stated, like, player evaluation has to come into play. Numbers are numbers, Rick, right? Numbers don't lie. He's now 18-35 as a head coach in a National Football League. Like, that gets a lot of other people fired. Like, his leeway has been long, and you would have to agree with this, that if Brian Daboll wasn't best friends with the general manager and they didn't get hired together from Buffalo, he would have been fired a long time ago.
Well, and you can even take it another step further and blame John Mara, the owner, because he sat there in Shane's office on Hard Knocks.
He's a terrible owner, too. They're just a terrible franchise.
Yeah. And I think part of it, too, is Mara's ego, because it's like, all right, oh, I made another wrong decision. We brought in Ben McAdoo. We brought in Pat Shermer. We brought in, remember the Joe Judge experience? That was something
else. I can't
even
keep up with it all. McAdoo, Shermer.
And so here we are again.
Remember before, who was the other big enemy in New York? And it was his fault. Gettleman.
Yeah.
Can't blame Gettleman anymore. Like, you know what I mean? There's always a scapegoat, but it's never Dable.
Well, yeah, and I saw now, like, the first two draft classes by Joe Shane, like, none of the players are even on this roster. I mean, they have a terrible track record of drafting. And to your point, like, unfortunately, it needs to be blown up from the top to the bottom, the whole front office, the scouting department, the head coach. It's a rebuild. And there wasn't great expectations coming into the season. And we talked about it, like, hey, 6 victories would be much improvement.
No, that's the whole thing, Rick. The bar was low, and somehow they've disappointed.
Worse.
Even. Yeah, like, it's not like you said. People were thinking, come on. Like, just don't be the worst team in the league. Win 6-7 games. Go in the right direction. Let's give credit to the odds makers, Rick. They said that the Saints and the Browns were the worst teams in the league, with the New York Giants, like, right there. Like, they were one of the favorites to be the worst team in the league. And I thought that was an overreaction, but so far they were right.
Well, they invested a lot into the offensive line. That didn't pan out once again. You looked over on the defensive side of the ball, especially with all these pass rushers. Now Brian Burns is hurt. We'll see how much of an impact that has. Now, there are some young pieces to be excited about, like Cam Scadaboo brought some excitement. Abdul Carter made a play. You know, how about Malik Nabers not even getting targeted to the fourth quarter? Again, going back to the game plan and scheming, like, you can't get the ball in Malik Nabers. Like, run a reverse, run a bubble screen, get the ball in
the biggest play.
You know, I mean, come on, what are you doing?
He was targeted 3 times in the first, but he didn't have a catch, right? He didn't have a catch, and he didn't have a catch going into late in the fourth quarter after. Like, they just did not get him involved. And they could say, oh, well, you know, they took him out of the game. But I said the same thing live, that why don't you just hand the ball off to him at this point? Like, you know, a quick hit. Snap the ball and just throw it to him. You see it all the time. Smart coaches know how to get their star player involved, or at least get a touch or two, so he doesn't start to, you know, get disengaged from the football game. Now they got the Chargers. And that Giants schedule, honestly, Rick, like, they're going to be lucky to win three games this year.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
I would say, oh, it's not bad because they'll get another draft pick, but whatever, dude, they'll just screw up another draft pick. Like, at what point, like, can you let these guys have the keys to the castle over and over and over again?
Agree. And that's why, like, there is no soft landing spot for Jackson Dart, because, like, I circled week five against the Saints.
Saints game. But then they play the Eagles the following week, don't they?
Then they got the Eagles, the Broncos, and then the Eagles again. So it doesn't get any easier. So that's why, let him get baptized by the Chargers, so that way maybe he actually has a chance to pull out a victory against the Saints and change the morale and change the locker room. I'm not saying they're going to change their season around, but there's been a lot of talk about, oh, well, he can't play behind a poor offensive line. He's not ready yet. Well, this is the Professional Football League. Everybody's a pro. Like, nobody else is making excuses. I just saw that the Cleveland Browns just lost both of their starting offensive tackles. How do you think they're feeling right now? Like, you got to stop babying the kid, kick the training wheels off, and let's go. Find out what you got.
Rick Saratella kicking it with us. Another team in the division that's been a complete disaster, the Dallas Cowboys. It was similar situations. I don't think Cowboy fans really had high expectations coming into this season, but it's even worse than people could have imagined. Yeah, they beat the New York Giants, but yeah, how bad is that Cowboys secondary, Rick? And how bad is that Cowboys defense that we saw the New York Giants go up and down the field on them, right? We just saw the Chicago Bears carve them up. Now you don't have CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is injured. You know, it's Tyler Booker is injured.
Yeah.
Their first-round draft pick. You know it's inevitable that Dak Prescott's going to get lit up sooner rather than later. The wheels are falling off early in the Big D right now.
It's going to be a long season down there in Dallas. And look no further than this week. They got the Micah Parsons coming back to town. Jerry said they won't be rolling out the red carpet for him. I wonder why.
Loss, too. So the Packers are going to be even like, you know, if the Packers are 3-0 and fat and happy, maybe you get them in a better spot. But coming off a loss to the Browns, they're not going to be in a very good mood.
That's right. And you mentioned Tyler Booker now is going to be out multiple weeks. They said CeeDee Lamb could be placed on the IR. And that really limits their offense. And, you know, Pickens made some plays, but he can't do it all. And I really thought Dallas would take advantage. Like, Chicago was down 3 cornerbacks, and they just couldn't make it happen. There's not a real lot to be hanging your hat on there down in Dallas. And, I mean, they're not as bad as the Giants, but, man, Jerry Jones really needs to reconsider, like, handing off all of the front office personnel decisions to Willie McClay, but we know that won't happen.
No, he just does it, and he just won't. We've got some interesting games in the National Football League this week, Rick, and one of these teams is going to be 3-1 between the Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals, and one of these teams is going to be 1-3 between the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs. What do you make of the Ravens problems right now? Is this thing going in the wrong direction, or is this an early season blip?
Well, I think you have an abbreviation here with Derrick Henry. I mean, this guy is a Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee whenever he decides to retire, but he's had some fumbling woes. And you saw it again on Monday Night Football. Costly.
Only running back in the NFL this year to fumble in all three games.
Yeah, and that's unbelievable when you think about the career he's had. You don't expect Derrick Henry to be the culprit. And you even saw Lamar Jackson getting fed up on the sidelines too. So I just think that Baltimore, they were neck and neck there with Buffalo. They were competitive with Detroit. I still think, you know, Lamar Jackson, by the way, this guy, he's got the highest passer rating in the history of the NFL. Like, some of the throws he's making, he just gets better and better. He zips the ball, the velocity on the run, thrown through tight windows. Like, Lamar Jackson, he's up there pound for pound with Mahomes, who he's going to face this week. And Kansas City, like, they're just getting healthier now. They're getting Xavier Worthy back. Rashee Rice will be coming back soon. I think they just got another player back. So, like, the Chiefs are going to get stronger, and they're going to have something to say, especially with Worthy and Tyreek Thornton now, the former second-round pick from New England, making noise. So I think Kansas City is on the upswing. Baltimore, they need to get their act together. It's going to be a close game. And I'll tell you what, being – what are they going to be, 1-3? That's a little bit of a hole to dig yourself out of, especially if you're the Chiefs. I think it hurts the Chiefs more if they lose because – Chargers,
yeah.
Clearly front runners. They've won three divisional games, including the Chiefs, including the Broncos. They beat the Raiders. And Denver looks pretty damn good, too. So 1-3, I mean, the Chiefs will be scrapping and clawing and getting to the playoff hunt.
Well, do Denver look good? That's another – that's, you know, they're losing games. They're not winning games. There seems to be trouble in paradise with Bo Nix and Sean Payton
a little bit.
Already.
A little bit.
Right? They're not bad. But, you know, I think the expectations were high. I sort of get the feeling that they believe they're on hype a little bit, Denver, coming into this year.
Well, you know.
And they've lost in bizarre ways. Like, they've been in the games, right? Hasn't clicked.
Yeah, there's been a little bit of a sophomore slump, but I think you also have to factor in, like, the Chargers are banged up, right? Like, they just lost Najee Harris for the season, torn Achilles. Khalil Mack is going to miss time. Rashawn Slater's out for the year. They just find ways to keep on moving, and Quentin Johnson has had a little bit of a resurgence here. Keenan Allen's been a nice
two words addition. For you, Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, well, he's coaching matters. Yeah, coaching matters.
Yeah, it does. Internationally, it really does. Like, football coaching matters more than in any other sport. It just does, right? And, you know, basketball, man, whatever, dude, your stars are running the show, right? Baseball managers don't do anything anymore. Like, they really don't. Like, you know what I mean? The GM holds their hands, or the analytic department, and this guy, they get a chart before the game. This guy's allowed to throw 82 pitches. If this happens, you know, even the pitches they throw is decided now, right? Analytics, 82% of the time he'll swing and miss, throw it there, right? It's such a numbers game. Football, the coaching still matters. The coordinating, the play calling, the coaching, the attitude, it really does matter. And say what you will about Dan Campbell, but, you know, his aggression, the players like it. He does it all the time, so at least they have that identity. But I agree with you as far as the Chiefs, Rick. They are going to be better down the road. We've seen this script before from them, and, you know, everyone thinks they suck, and, they flick the switch, and they get guys back. My deal is, if you're the rest of the NFL, you got to bury them now, right, before they get Rice back. You know, Rashee Rice suspended for the first six games. You got to try to win as many games as you can against these guys because you know they're going to go on a late run. Their schedule gets easier as well. If you're Baltimore, but I do agree with you. Like, Baltimore can lose this game and still win a division. Cincinnati got problems. Cleveland suck. I know they won last week, but – and then you got Pittsburgh, who are mediocre. So, yeah, Baltimore's still going to win this division. What's your pick? Who do you think wins, Baltimore or Kansas City? Because I think Baltimore going on the road will actually beat them.
I'm going to go Kansas City here just because if you look at the games they've played, like even that game against the Eagles where they were on the losing end, they were in it the whole game. They scrapped, they clawed, they're battle-tested. And Mahomes, at the end of the day, like, say what you want. I know Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have won the last two MVPs. But what Mahomes did even just last year, 15 wins with the worst Kansas City Chiefs team that I can remember since he's taken over as starter.
You even see it this year, Rick. Like the other night, he's got no one to work with, and you still can't beat him. Like he's still. How about that play when he recovered the fumble?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Who does that? I've never seen that.
And the quickness, he was like a basketball guard stealing a ball. Like, it wasn't like some fluky, he got lucky and he knocked the ball loose. Like, no. He totally, stole the ball from the guy.
Yeah, and that's what great players do, right? And, you know, to me, he's still pound for pound the best quarterback on the planet when it's all said and done. And now, they can't get the running game, and Patrick Mahomes says, hey, get on my back. I lead the team in rushing. No problem. So I just think they're going to get healthier. They're going to get better. They're battle-tested. They have a knack for winning these close ball games, and this is going to be another close one at home. And they just lost at home to the Eagles. I don't think the Chiefs are going to lose another one, but it'll be close.
Me and Rick often talk about on a weekly basis about the NFL draft. For the record, Nussmeier is the favorite to be the number one pick of the draft right now. Lenora Sellers is actually the second choice. But I wanted to ask you, Rick, about the Heisman trophy. Look, mm-hmm. You and I both coming into the year, we're high on Mendoza. We brought it up. You liked him. Yep. I mean, we liked him at Cal. And then coming into the system with Cignetti, playing in more high-profile games on TV, more obviously in the Big Ten. They were just on national television over the weekend. But he is delivering right now, and he's becoming one of the favorites for the Heisman Trophy. And it'll be interesting to see what NFL scouts think about him. But they do think about him pretty highly, don't they? And he is the second choice now, Rick, after John Mateer, who's also having an awesome season, to win the Heisman. So John Mateer in Oklahoma is actually the favorite right now.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details. Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit Lowe's.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Well, Oklahoma's putting together some really high-quality wins. It looks like they're going to be in the college football playoff hunt. And, you know, Indiana, I don't know what they got to do to get respect. Like, they are the Rodney Dangerfield of college football. Like, how is that team ranked 11th after blowing out the 9th team in the country the way they did? That doesn't make sense to me. But, you know, Mendoza's going to be there. As long as Indiana keeps rattling off wins, they're going to be there. I'll tell you one guy that I don't think is getting enough consideration right now, and this game against Oregon Penn State this weekend, it's going to have Heisman Trophy ramifications. It's going to have
Dante Moore.
Yeah, Dante Moore.
This is his first real test, Rick.
Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't played anybody yet, right? So this is it, right? Going on the road. And one thing I want to bring up here, too, because people are like, all right, Dante Moore's going on the road. He is from Michigan, this kid. Like, I've heard some people like, oh, going to the Midwest and all this type stuff. You know, this kid didn't grow up with a Mai Tai in his hand or like, you know, he's like, he's from Michigan. Right. So going back to the Midwest, the kid, you know, and weather's not really a factor right now, but he's been very patient. Right. Remember, Rick, he was like one of the most highly recruited quarterbacks in the country. And he wanted to get away from the state of Michigan and go on the West Coast and stuff. And he went to UCLA when Chip Kelly was there, and he did not get along with Chip Kelly. And Chip Kelly, didn't play him, and, you know, so he basically said, screw this, went to Eugene and bided his time. He sat behind Dylan Gabriel last year and watched Dylan Gabriel do his thing, and now he takes over the reins. Do you like him, Rick? You like this quarterback?
I do, and I like the maturity and the vision to be able to see that. To say, hey, I can sit a year, has dealt with adversity all these things bode well. And I'll tell you what, if Oregon wins, I think Dante Moore becomes at least a top contender for the Heisman Trophy. And if Penn State wins, you know, I had an NFL scout tell me this week, Drew Allar could wind up being the number one overall pick when it's all said and done. And you mentioned Nussmeier, like he's got a torso injury now that Brian Kelly said was from too much throwing during the preseason and training camp. He also had a patellar knee injury flare up on him in August. So when they have their bye week in 2 weeks, he's going to shut it down. And you look at Joe Burrow, this guy's missed significant time 3 out of 6 years. Well, Nussmeier's a lot smaller. And you have to start wondering now about that durability. Lenore Sellers hasn't really been playing well. I think Carson Beck will be in that first round mix. But Drew Allar can make a statement this week against Oregon.
You're right about LSU. One thing, Nussmeier, it hasn't affected the stock yet. I think people that know are worried about the size and the injuries and stuff. But even the LSU offense, right, when they're playing good teams, it's not like they're lighting it up now. Right. That's another thing. So like the numbers were better last year, but their defense is better. So they're winning football games. Rick Saratella.
Yeah, but you know, you don't see the deep ball passes downfield from Nussmeier, and they actually have the worst scoring offense in the entire SEC. So I do think that torso, there's more than meets the eye with that.
We're still early in the year right now, Rick, but I love what I see from Maiva and the USC offense as well. Right now, Lincoln Riley offense is clicking. Their defense is better right now. And how about my boy Justice Haynes, who we both knew coming into the year would be a dominant running back, but he really is. It's a shame that running backs aren't really ever in the Heisman talk. It's become a quarterback award, but Justice Haynes is one of the best players in college football.
No doubt about it. And you got to go back to 2014. The Derrick Henry we were just talking about was the last running back to win the Heisman Trophy, but Justice Haynes stated his case this past week. 3 rushing touchdowns. He's now exceeded 100 yards in 4 straight games, has at least 1 touchdown in all 4 games. I have him as a higher rated prospect than Blake Corum coming out, and Corum was a 3rd-round pick by the Rams. So I wouldn't be surprised. Like Nicholas Singleton was expected to do big things. Jeremiah Love in Notre Dame was expected to do big things. Neither one of them have really got out to a fast start. And suddenly now, not only is Justice Haynes a dark horse for the Heisman Trophy, he could be the first running back off the board here come April. And I'll give you one other dark horse candidate for a non-quarterback position in terms of the Heisman Trophy race. You can't count out Jeremiah Smith over there at Ohio State. He is probably the best player in all of college football, and he can go off now. Like, he can go off on a several-week run and post huge numbers and get back into the Heisman race as well.
Yeah, he is getting some love, actually. He's 12-1, so he is the fourth choice right now. Yeah, and that's like I said, Mateer and Mendoza are basically co-favorites, depending on your book. Mateer is a slight favorite, or Mendoza, they're sort of both right there. Rick Saratella. Rick, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. I look forward to catching up next week as the games are starting to count early in the season right now, especially college football. We got a massive card this week. You talked about that Duck game with the Nittany Lions, Alabama, Georgia this week as well.
Yeah, and then you got LSU and Ole Miss. I saw the picture of Lane Kiffin's daughter now with the hard launch dating Whit Weeks, the linebacker there at LSU. So nothing like a little family Thai juice to
I saw that. I don't know what. Yeah, I don't, you know, the whole, you know, Brian Kelly's father loves Lane Kiffin. And like in the SEC series, I was talking about how good LSU is right now. So they have a weird relationship going on, these two schools right now. But I will say, I can't do it. Like, I don't care who Lane Kiffin's daughter is doing. Like, I really don't. And I know the media is all over it, Rick. You know, I can't do it, man. Like, I don't care. I hate that type of stuff. But the media loves it because it's Lane Kiffin's daughter and she's hot and she's dating a kid on the LSU Tigers of all teams. So I get the storyline. But same with, like, the Cavender twins. I don't care what they do. Like, you know what I mean? I don't care.
You mean you're not tuning in for Taylor Swift?
Oh, I respect Taylor Swift. At least she's got talent. Like the Cavender twins. All right, like there's two blonde girls. They're sisters. One of them scores 2 points a game in college basketball. Oh, they're going to the WWE. Why do we hear about her? Because she scored 2 points a game. Because she poses in, like, next to nothing on Instagram? Okay. but I'm not going to make her a celebrity because she poses half naked on Instagram and she scores 2 points a game. But social media like her, right? Like, I'm just so now with this Lane Kiffin stuff, I don't care. I really don't. But who do you think wins the game, Rick? LSU or Ole Miss?
I think LSU is going to go on the road and take this one, and then Nussmeier will probably shut it down during the bye week. But LSU's really got to get this offense going, and we'll see if they can keep pace with Ole Miss always brings the heat on the offensive side.
And speaking of which, too, it's almost like Kiffin and the antics and the jokes and the point spread talk all the time. It's almost a distraction from the fact that he never actually wins. Right? I mean, every year we hear, Ole Miss, the recruiting, they won the recruiting trail. They're so dominant. They got so many great players. They're the same team every year. So I'm curious to see, can they win this football game? Like, can Ole Miss actually win a big game? And let's be real, there's been few and far between big wins for Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss.
This is true, and that defense, his pops, Monte, is looking down right now and just shaking his head at that Ole Miss defense. But, no, I agree. He has yet to win a big game there. This would probably be the biggest if he can pull it off.
Yeah, it would really, catapult him for real. Be like, all right, this team's for real, as opposed to they could be for real. AllAccessFootball.com. Good stuff, Rick. Thanks for the time, my man.
Love you, brother.
There's Rick Saratella with us. We go from Rick Saratella to Cam Stewart. And Andrew McKinnis on a Twisted Tuesday. What's going on, McKinnis? How you doing, Cam?
Doing good, Morenci. I guess I'm on tilt because I liked the Lions last night and switched to Baltimore, but thank God for the points and the over in that game. Great football game. Got to love Rick, too. I know we're only on podcast, but I really like his Toronto Argonauts hat. Looks very sharp.
Yeah, Rick likes to rock the CFL gear. And I was surprised last night that the Baltimore Ravens got punched in the mouth in the way that they did. Normally, I would be all over the Lions in a game like that. The underdog, oh, this would be a great game to tease. And I'll be, I really did. I was like, and I wasn't the bet of the year or anything for me on Baltimore. But I did think, I've seen Baltimore smash teams so many times on primetime television. And like they crushed my Buffalo Bills last year on primetime TV in Baltimore. 2 years ago, the Detroit Lions went into Baltimore. Pretty much the same team. I mean, Ben Johnson and Jared Goff. The Lions were good. Whatever, the Ravens were good. Same type of team. Lions went in there. They lost 38-6. Right? I think there's just something wrong with Baltimore. They're not the same team now. I don't know if there's a coaching issue. Like they have a hard time finishing games. They blow the leads. They start off strong all the time, and they fade as the game goes on. And I'm not really blaming Harbaugh so much, but I've always said this for years. I think that Monken's a terrible coach. I've always thought that Monken was a terrible OC. Do we have Andrew McKinnis in the house? What's up, Andrew?
What's up, guys? I'll tell you what. Last night, play of the night for me, Zay Flowers over receiving yards. I usually don't like taking the biggest guy, the biggest guy with all the highest number.
They never targeted him.
What the hell? Was he taking a nap half the game? I mean, you literally could have had anybody else on the Ravens over on yards, and you probably won your bet with that one. But hey, we move on to the next. I always want to remain transparent, celebrate the wins, talk about the losses. But you know what? You talk about the Ravens, guys. Sometimes I watch that team and I feel like it's like some college kid in his dorm room is like running their team with a video game controller. Like he is playing Madden, playing as the Baltimore Ravens. Like the play
their defense is old too, McKinnis. It's old. Like people don't talk about Humphrey and all these other guys, Gabe. And you're right about Monken. Like that play calling was like literally me, you, and McKinnis drunk could have done better. Like they didn't, I just look at their play calls. I'm like, you guys are the Baltimore Ravens. I know I'll give Detroit credit. They shut down, Lamar Jackson. But Gabe, like, too, that defense is aging. They're not, there's a lot of old guys on that team. And as the season progresses, I'd be worried.
They have a lot of youth. They do have a lot of youth on the defense. I don't know if their defense is so much aging. They got a couple older dudes, but like, it's more so the guys that they're drafting. They don't have any stars on defense. They don't have any, like, who's their best defensive player? Hamilton, right? So, like, it's never good when your best defensive player is a safety. It's like, yeah, he's the last line of defense. Like, so, yeah, we have a good safety. But, like, in the past years, the Ravens have always had these menacing defensive players, right? Like they either had the star guys and or they'd have guys that were not stars, but people that know football, like knew, like, you know, like Patrick Queen, like, yeah, these guys are badasses. Like, these guys are mean. Like, they fly to the ball. They don't have that, right? You know, it's the draft. You know, we could have talked about that with Rick Saratella, actually, but they haven't replaced the older players with the new players haven't stepped up, quite frankly. There's no leader on the defense. They've always had a leader on the defense. You know, they had a Ray Lewis. They had an Ed Reed. Even after, like, that era, they had, like, Terrell Suggs sort of carried it over after. And there was always just sort of a guy or two that would be like, this is unacceptable. This is not Baltimore Raven defense. Now it's actually a bunch of young dudes, and there's no identity to it, right? They're just sort of, you know, trying to, you know, make their way, and they're not stopping enough people. The offense, you know, even Lamar Jackson, they don't use him properly. You mentioned McKinnis. I had Zay Flowers like everybody else did, and they don't get him the ball. Dude, like, and they didn't even attempt to a couple of times. Like, there was one quarter just flew by. It was the third quarter. Like, in the first half, they didn't get him the ball at all, and they made zero effort in the third to do it. Like, we talked about it on Sunday night. The Giants did the same thing with Malik Nabers. They targeted Malik Nabers three times in the first half. So your best player, you looked at three times out of all the plays that you ran, and he didn't have a single catch out of the three targets. And then the third quarter started, and it was the same thing. They did not target Nabers. And it's like, at that point, guys, hand the ball off to him. Like, you know, give him a pitch. Give him a sweep to run. Throw a quick bubble screen to him. Like, get the ball in his hands as opposed to making excuses that, well, you know what, the other team did a good job of taking him out of, taking him out of play. And that was sort of the Zay Flowers excuse last night. Well, they did a good job. Nah, you did a terrible job, like, trying to get your playmakers the football. And we see this a lot, but I've said it for years and years and years. Todd Monken sucks. He's essentially like Nate Hackett. Like, I don't know why he has a job, how he has a job. There's two Monkens. They're not even brothers. I thought they were brothers. They're not. They are related, but they're not brothers. But the Jeff Monken in Army is good. Todd Monken is just a flat-out moron, just point-blank. But I still think that they're going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs this week. What's your pick, McKinnis? Chiefs or Ravens?
Well, I was going to say, sometimes you look at a game and you think, okay, maybe this quarterback's getting sacked because of the offensive line. I think sometimes when Lamar got sacked, it was because of him. You know, and that's the reason why I'm actually leaning towards the Chiefs side. Because,
well, he got sacked last night, in my opinion, because nobody was open. Like, he dropped, like, he could have taken off more. He's standing in the pocket, McKinnis, and the pocket's collapsing. Number one, the Lions just murdered the old line last night, but nobody is open for him. Like, frankly, they're wider, and that's on the organization that they've never had good wide receivers for him, ever, and they refuse to do it. Zay Flowers is not a star wide receiver, guys.
At least don't run back 15 yards then and be, you know, second and 25, right? You know, that's the thing. If you're going to be a quarterback taking a sack.
How many times has he done that and he's gotten away?
Of course.
That's
of course.
9 out of 10 times.
Absolutely. Look, I think that the Chiefs right now are, it's such an interesting thing because they're kind of like that team that, like, Tyquan Thornton, did he ever get targeted or make plays on the Patriots like he did over the weekend with Mahomes? I think he caught the ball, then he hit the ground. The ball fumbled and went on the ground, so they said it was no catch. Mahomes goes right back to him again, and he catches a deep ball. I think he's touchdown or on the goal line. This team, nobody really knows who their stars are. Then they're getting back these receivers. I mean, the difference between the Ravens and the Chiefs right now is that the Ravens could be 3-0, and they're not. And the Chiefs are struggling, but they're going to get better. I'm wondering if sometimes you lose winnable games, if that just means more losing is in your future. So for this Ravens team, it's hard to say. Like, again, they're a team. The difference between the Lions and the Ravens last night, and you guys tell me if I'm far off with this, both these teams are fun to watch, but it seems like when Dan Campbell's having fun going forward on fourth, they execute. When the Ravens are having fun and kind of looks like they're messing around, they don't really execute. And you know, we could talk about a Derrick Henry fumble, we could talk about a fourth quarter, but show me highlights of the Ravens in the last 3 years in the first half and show me highlights of the Ravens in the second half, and two different teams.
I think it's in their head at this point, the Ravens now.
Yeah.
They won't say it publicly. They're not going to admit it, right? But it's real. Them blowing the 17 double-digit leads over the years, it's in Harbaugh's head. I saw an interview with him before the game, and he even talked about the difficulty of it and about them trying different things and this and that. Like you said, McKinsey, it's like Baltimore. They have fun in the first half, and Lamar is smiling, and everything's good, and they tighten up fast, right? Like even Derrick Henry, he's been around long enough not to have these meltdowns on the sidelines after. Like, you know what I mean? It exasperates it. Like you're cartoonizing it a little bit, right? Like, oh my God, this is terrible, and the hands in the air, and like the overreaction and the overdrama to it. They did that against Buffalo, and it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy then. You start to flip out. It's like real life. You start to panic about every little thing that happens, and you're uptight, and things just start to snowball, and they get worse after. But it's definitely a problem for them right now. But the Lions just own them. They, you know, I think we don't often give credit to the coaches enough, but the Lions coaching staff just owned Baltimore last night with the schemes, the play calls, the designs. Like they just seriously outplayed them. They outcoached them. And I tell you what, the loser of Kansas City and Baltimore is going to be 1-3. And if you can, like you said, Kansas City are going to be good when they get all these guys back. But to me, if you can make them like 1-5 or 2-4 when they get guys back, you can make their life a lot more difficult. All right, McKinnis only has a couple of more minutes with us today, but what did you think, McKinnis, of the CFL announcement and rule and field changes?
The biggest thing for me, Gabe, and I apologize for having to be short today, the biggest thing for me was that they at least kept it to three downs. There was so much speculation. I thought it was weird that nobody was even involved. Nobody was even told about it. And so there was all kinds of different stuff being thrown out about it. So I was happy to see that. Maybe the whole you can't win a game off a single, I can live with that. That makes a little more sense to me, you know, looking at some of these, you know, missed field goals, punts, or kickoffs that go through the back of the end zone will no longer be a point. Single point only count if the field return tackled or kneels there, which I like. The play clock issue, that's okay. But I don't really get the whole field changes. Like I like the 110 yards versus 100 yards. I thought that the size of the end zones was CFL brand because we only have three downs. So you get a bigger end zone. And you know, the whole goalpost thing again, like that to me, it was kind of like what Nate Rourke said. That's like a Canadian thing. You know, when I think about Cody Fajardo a few years ago, hitting the goalpost when a player is running the route, instead of hitting his man, hey, that's a CFL problem. That's part of our game. You know, looking at some of the quotes there from Nate Rourke, look, some people out there are going to say, well, look, you tried to leave us for the NFL. Excuse my French here, but no shit. He was going to leave for the NFL if he could.
Money.
Obviously,
yeah,
he was going to.
You know
to,
what?
But
I can't help but think the same thing in that. And one thing, Nate Rourke is like the... Like, he's, like, one of the nicest sort of, like, religious people, like, in the league. If
he's
not,
kind of dorky, honestly.
He doesn't swear, even, McKinnis. Like, literally, on the football field, he does not swear. Like, on a bad play, he's like, gosh darn it! No, I'm dead serious. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, it's true.
Like, Mark yesterday, in NHL, yesterday, same yeah, thing. Yeah. Yesterday, like, no, Matthew Stafford is the same way. Stafford doesn't swear. Like, Stafford, like, when he argues with a ref, that's garbage. That's like, he will not swear. Phillip Rivers was the same way. Like, and Nate Rourke, I'm dead serious. Like you said, McKinnis, like, he's incredibly nerdy, geeky, right? Like, do you get, you know what I mean? People, like, laugh at him on the team, even. They're like, man, this guy's like, like, and he's got that hat. He's like Leave It to Beaver type thing. Like people are like, it's Leave It to Beaver yeah. kid, right?
Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah, and he's like, hey guys, and he's very positive, and he's all like, that's yesterday funny. He was shaking during that press conference, and yeah. he was pissed. And then he even goes, excuse my language, but I'm pissed. Like that was his like his extent of his. But he basically said, yeah, it's garbage, and he went off.
Yeah.
But I couldn't help but think, I was like, bro, you left. Like, you wouldn't even be playing here if, like, they didn't cut you. So, like, I wouldn't, like,
yeah.
So settle down with that. I get his passion for it. You make a good point as far as the middle of the field thing, but what do you think, Cam, of the rule change?
The thing is, the clock issue I have a problem with, and I'm with McInnes. The CFL, it's 110 yards. It's not 100. We're Canadian. They're American. I don't want to do anything that's the same. You know, I don't even care about the rouge. I think it's uniquely Canadian. I get it. Oh, hey guys, we're winning a game because you kicked it right through the. I don't care. I love the Canadian Football League for its rules. That is different than the National Football League. I like three down football. You know what I mean, Gabe? Like, why do we have to be the same? Why does everything have to assimilate? I disagree with Stu Johnson big time. The Canadian Football League is fine. And Gabe, to your point, they're not getting any fans. I'm a 16-year-old kid. I care about these. I'm going to watch the CFL.
They that's not going to change anything.
Exactly,
that's
bro. Exactly. Yeah. It's and the totals are 54.5.
Yes. Lots of scoring.
One thing about the end zones, guys, 20 to 15, they're not all 20 to begin with now anyways, and nobody talks about it. Like, the thing is, McInnes, like in Montreal, it's like 17, 18. They don't have room in the back of the track.
The track.
Like, you hear me? Like, so like, people get all, I can't believe 20 yards. Like, and number one, how many passes do you see in the back of the end zone in the CFL now? None. Nobody ever freaking uses it. I'm sort of on both sides. I don't mind streamlining things a little bit and tightening things up a little bit. But at the same point in time.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Like, when I hear, CFL has big announcements, what did you do? Do you think anybody that doesn't like the CFL now saw that, oh, my God, oh, now the end zone's 15 yards. Oh, now you changed the clock. Now I'm going to watch. No. So all you really did is upset your hardcore fans. And what I don't get, like, if you really wanted to say, all right, here's a big announcement, I don't know, how about another team? How about putting energy into, like, another team in Quebec City and say, we got a team in the Maritimes now. We're putting a team in Halifax. All this, you know, I'm the new commissioner. Like, if I was a new commissioner of the CFL, that'd be my stamp. I'd say, nobody's been able to do it. I'm going to do it. We're getting a team. I'm getting on the phone with Mark Carney right now. I'm going to tell him, you want to win an election again, sir? Help us get a football team here. Right? Like, and it's not, no, but it's just, like, you got to hustle and bustle to get this stuff done. And they don't, like, and then the roll out this type of stuff, it's sort of like a shrug of the shoulders. Like, yeah, okay, what does this really do? It doesn't really change anything. We can live
with
it.
What is the goal here, Gabe? That's my question. I mean, exactly. Look at the totals. We're seeing 52.5, 54.5 for totals.
Well, I hate to say, the goal clearly does seem to be to un-Canadian it. I don't want to say Americanize it, but listen, I thought some of the things were stupid. Right. The center field thing is dumb. Like, you know, I mean, it was what it is, but like, it was just dumb. But was there really a need like to change it? Like, that was the other thing. The goalpost, it's going to open up a lot of plays in the open of the end zone, guys, in the middle of the end zone. Like, there's no room for players now. The only thing that I'll say is, which is cool, was some teams really knew how to use that goalpost as sort of a.
Like a pick play.
Yeah. Like, they would sort of, you know what I mean? It was illegal to do. Yeah. You're not allowed to send like two receivers crossing route over the goalpost, but there's a way to do it. So you all do it. And it does. Exactly. Cam, you got a DB running and he doesn't want to run to the goalpost. You sort of, exactly. You know, you throw around it type of deal.
Yes.
Right. So it was that little wink, wink, like nudge to it. But I think there will be exciting plays over the middle of the field. All right. We got to get McInnes out of here. Andrew, NHL preseason has begun. And I'll quickly say, I did take the Canadians last night, 2-1 win. I didn't like the line of 90 cents, but I thought they were going to win. They ended up doing the shootout, but 20 preseason games have been played to my count, Andrew. 13-7 to the under 5.5. Something to keep our eye on in the first couple of games this week.
Absolutely. We're seeing guys, people always forget about the bottom six players, right? Those are really the guys trying out for the team, not as much top six players. What do the bottom six players do? They take defensive zone draws, defensive zone playoffs, defensive
great
zone.
Great point. The skill guys aren't playing. It's all the third and fourth line guys. Yep. And then guys that are trying to make the third and fourth line.
And their attention to detail is perfect. Great call by you, McInnes. It's right. Like, these guys are fighting for a job. They're not screwing around. The defense is number one when you want to try to make
it. There's been a lot of high-scoring games, too. There's been a few, but like I said, if we're using 5.5 as the barometer, then it's 13-7 to the under so far. So any hockey picks on the way out, McInnes, so we'll get you out of here.
Well, I've got one under and one over. I'll tell you what, I'm going to keep rocking with Habs unders tonight. We've got Dobish starting, and Kapanen will be behind him, I believe. For the Canadians, we've got Ersin and Net for the Flyers. He wants to make a good impression, so I'll take under in that one, despite the fact that Caulfield, Suzuki are out there. Still some bottom six guys that want to play some good defense, so I'll take the under in that one. Gonna look at Buffalo and Columbus over. This one, you can get chalky 5.5 or six, or you can lay the nice +110 on over 6.5. This is going to be a real good one. We've got a good mixture of vets and younger guys. Columbus at Buffalo. I think we've got a lot of guys that want to put on a show tonight.
It's a thing with the NHL. Thanks, Andrew. Good stuff. We'll catch up with you the next week.
Thank you.
That's the thing with the NHL, that it's a lot like the Major League Baseball preseason. You really, like, one night, like, the team, like, they split the squad up often. And they don't do it like, oh, all young or all guys. Like, it's a little bit random, right? So, and also another thing, too, it's like in the preseason in football, people often say, you know, oh, they should have played this guy or they should play this guy more. And Nick Saban had a great point. He was talking about the preseason. And he said, you know, the problem, he goes, I remember when I was in the NFL in the preseason, and he goes, I was going to play my starters, and my assistants told me, we better not do this. And I was like, why? And he said, the other team is not starting their starters. And you can see this in the NHL. Like, in hockey, it's even more so. That imagine, let's say, let's use the Canadians as an example. You know, Cole Caulfield. Cole Caulfield's not a superstar, but he's the Canadian star. You know what I mean? Like, he's their guy. Or a Nick Suzuki. You know, like, if you think of the Canadians, it's basically Suzuki and Caulfield are their two guys, right? Hudson's a young star. But, like, so I'm just saying, let's say, so Cole Caulfield didn't play last night in the game. Let's say Cole, and neither did Crosby. But let's say, you know, Cole Caulfield is playing, and he's playing against a team, and they've got a bunch of, like, dudes that are going to be on the AHL team, basically, play. They've got a bunch of dudes that, for the most part, are not going to make the team. All it takes is one guy to, like, try to make a statement. And you see that all the time in hockey. That's kind of one of the ways you make a statement. You go after the other team's star player, right? And it almost angers a lot of coaches, though, because they're like, man, it's the preseason. Don't do that. Our guy is going to go, you know. But you see it all the time in hockey, Cam. Like, so, you know, there's some kid. It's not, you know, people to make the team. It's not to make the NHL team, because the NHL team's already made. The coaches know who's on the team coming up. The season starts in 12 days. 13 days, 15 days, whatever. You know, they know who's on the team already. But these guys, Cam, are battling. They don't want to be on the AHL team. They want to be in the American Hockey League, so they're one call away from the NHL, right? So, like, these guys, like, when you hear, oh, they're fighting for jobs. Yeah, they're fighting for jobs. They're fighting for jobs to make the AHL team. Because you're on the AHL team, you're getting a pro contract, right? Like, yeah, you're not making
those two-way deals.
Yeah, you're not automatically making deals that we talked about. You know, NHL money, but you're right there. You're a call away. You're one call away from the NHL. If you're trying out for a team and you don't make the AHL team and they tell you, listen, you're going to play for our East Coast hockey affiliate, it's not like you're doomed, but it's a long haul. Like, there's some guys now, it used to be laughable. It'd be like, there's no way in hell. East Coast Hockey League used to be a joke. It was basically like the movie Slapshot. It isn't anymore. Like, there's a lot of guys in the NHL from East Coast Hockey League now. Remember before, Cam, it wasn't a accredited NHL affiliate league. It was an independent league. East Coast Hockey League. You know, it was, you know, Southern States, Tampa, Georgia teams, and right. But it's really grown, and the NHL needed more affiliates and players, et cetera, to call up. So they've become, the East Coast Hockey League is now an affiliate. And this is pretty wild, guys. There's a player, this dude, he just signed with Arizona State. So he's, and his brother's on Arizona State. So this guy, he's playing for Arizona State University this year, except he played 36 games for the Pittsburgh Penguins East Coast Hockey affiliate. He's a pro player. Like, Cam, there's a picture of him in a Pittsburgh Penguin uniform. Like I don't understand, like, what's going on in NCAA hockey now that this guy played East Coast Hockey League. I think he played a couple of games in the AHL, and he's playing NCAA hockey now. And it's like, all right, so can we sign Connor Bedard now? Like, seriously. Like, so if you're already like, so what? Like, in the NCAA, you're signing pro players now? I don't care if he's just a scrub guy and he played in East Coast Hockey League. He's a pro player. Like, when you play in East, you're a professional. The East Coast Hockey League is a professional league with NHL-like logos. Like, there's pictures with him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's wearing the Wilkes-Barre jersey. It's a Pittsburgh Penguins jersey. It has an NHL logo on it. Like, there's pictures of him on the Penguins, like website type stuff. Like, you are a pro then. Like, when you're playing on a farm team, you are a pro, yet he's playing NCAA hockey this year. So, I don't know what the hell is up with that, but all kidding aside, like, what's to stop Penn State from offering Connor Bedard $20 million
to play? See you, Chicago. I will say this, though, Gabe, to McInnes's point, like, even watching, like, the Sabres in Columbus, I'm looking, like, Shane Doan's kid was there. I'm looking at Owen Power, great player for Team Canada. Like, I'm looking at their lineup. Krebs is a wicked player. Like they had guys on their team, to your point, all very good American Hockey League, like Rochester Americans, and good players that are trying to meet. And they won 4-0 last night. So that's the whole thing. You got to do your due diligence and, like, look at the lineup. Look who's hungry. Look who's good. A lot of guys don't even start their prospects. They're starting guys, like, deep in the organization. But teams like Buffalo, I think they want to get off on the right foot. And I think they're going to put some guys in there and go, you know what? We've underachieved for years. We haven't made the playoffs in 14 years. Let's do something in the preseason to get it going. And they won last night. And I kind of agree with McInnes. I think they're going to get over the number of 6 versus Columbus again tonight in a back-to-back.
I'm looking at totals as I stay. I bet I'm 1-0. I've only bet one hockey game so far this year. I pulled the trigger on the Montreal Canadiens on Monday night against the Pittsburgh Penguins. The game was in Montreal. One thing I know about, you know, being from there is that the Canadiens, the fans, whatever, they take everything seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But in a fun way. Like, they're not, they wouldn't be all mad if they lost the game last night, but they don't even care that it's a preseason game. Like, they're loud. Like, you know what I mean? The arena last night.
They love hockey.
The arena last night in Montreal was just, like, super loud, positive. They're excited for the year to come up. But they, you know, I was going to say they don't get too mad about preseason, but they actually do. That's another thing, actually. Like, but the Montreal Canadian fan has chilled out a little bit. The modern, younger fan is sort of more positive. Like, even Carey Price got into it years ago in Montreal during the preseason. He had a really bad game. And you know what's crazy? It's like, they went far in the playoffs the year before, too. They went far in the playoffs the year before. They lost, like, 6 or 7-0 in a preseason game. And Carey Price played terrible. And he was in a grocery store the next day. And fans actually chirped him for real, like, to his face. Like, people in Montreal will, like, they will confront players. Like, a lot of cities don't. Like, people in Toronto talk a big, and, oh, we don't like this and stuff. But when they see Marner, oh, can I get a picture? Can I get a selfie?
Exactly.
Like, people in Montreal will actually, like, start bitching.
So you,
like,
suck.
Especially French people. Like, they'll get in players' faces. Like, dude, like, Pierre Turgeon signed with the Canadiens. He was a big star with the Islanders, and people are all happy he signed in Montreal. And it didn't go great for him in Montreal, and it was Christmas. It was, like, a couple of days before Christmas. And Pierre Turgeon's wife was shopping for Christmas presents at a local mall. And fans badgered his wife.
That's crazy.
Like in the mall, they basically said, "Go back to New York. You're a disgrace. You suck. Tell your husband
you're an Islander.
Sucks.
You're not a Canadian."
Like, like, and his poor wife like called home, like she was in tears at the mall, and she basically said, "These people hate us, and they said they hate you." And like,
this fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
And it was, it's overwhelming. Like it's too much. Right. And so Carey Price had the famous line, "Relax. It's the preseason." Like that's what he told everybody. Like the media got in his face. Then they were like, "We heard you got into it with someone in a grocery store." And he told them the story about how he was in line and people started bitching at him. And he basically said, "You know, I get that people are into this, but," he goes, "I shouldn't get harassed at a grocery store because we lost to the Buffalo Sabres in the preseason." Right. And, but that's the way Montreal was. And that wasn't that long ago. That's like 8 years ago, guys. So like,
yeah,
it wasn't like it was, "Oh, that was a long, long ago," 10 years ago, whatever. Well, it was a long, long time ago. But the modern, like I said, the new kid that really like the Canadians have a lot of young fans. It's like a cult there. It's a religion. It's like a cult. Like, it's bad. They're not a hockey team there. Like, it's basically like it's a religion. So all these new kids are really into this religion. Like they're, they're not like, "Oh, we haven't won since 1994 or 93. They're like, "No, we're into this thing. We're going to win. We're going to win." So there's just this big positivity. Like now the people who like really, really kiss the players' asses as opposed to when I was doing the post game show and stuff, and I'll admit I was guilty of stirring the pot and making people not like them, because I would come out and say they're a disgrace to the jersey and the organization and all that. Like, man, those players hated me on that team. And rightfully so. Leafs and Senators play tonight, actually, in the preseason. They got into some fisticuffs in the first game. And here's a good example, guys. Like, the Toronto Maple Leafs are -275 tonight.
That's nuts. And like, I'll tell you another thing,
game, guys, like it's anything can happen in a preseason game.
I'm looking at these.
I would not lay -275.
Look at the Edmonton game. Okay. It's Skinner and Comrie. These guys are starters. I'm looking at the Ranger game. We got Shesterkin and Swayman, Rangers and Boston. These are like all-star goalies, right? This is the one game with Ottawa and Toronto, because things got a little bit stupid. It's Hildeby. He's basically a third, fourth string goaltender. Millanian for Ottawa, the same thing. So maybe things get a little bit loose. They fought last night. That's a game I would expect some scoring in it. But you're right. You can't lay that number with the play as the Senators, or you don't play it at all. You can't lay that juice with Toronto.
Tomorrow we'll hit the Ryder Cup,
cool,
which is set to begin. And interesting, I saw some interesting comments from Paul Azinger about the Ryder Cup and why he thinks Europe is going to win. And it was a good point that he brought up, in which he said that the U.S. Golf Association and Team USA are terrible at picking golf courses. And he said that they never pick golf courses that the players like or are good at. And it's something to keep your eye on here that nobody's talking about. That's why I like listening to, you know, what players are saying, in that no one's talking about this. But if you look at the track record of players on the U.S. team, there's a lot of terrible scores at Bethpage. Like a lot. And they haven't played there. Like, they literally haven't played there that often. Like, basically, most of the guys on the U.S. have played there three times in their life. Which, and also it's on the East Coast, so they don't live there. It's not like one of these Florida courses or, like, you know what I mean, in California. Oh, yeah, Torrey Hill, yeah, Torrey Pines, yeah, I live there, I played there. Like, they don't know it that well, and it's a difficult course. So they don't know it that well. It's a difficult course, and so I was looking at the numbers of all the Americans, and there was just a lot of implosion, Cam, on this golf course over the years. It's a big course. You got to be a power hitter and Azinger, and you would notice, Cam. He basically said these European guys don't care about the course. They don't think about the course. They don't fear the course. They just play the course. Like, Americans get freaked out by course. Oh, we don't know the course. Oh, this, that, like. And the European guys also smoke the ball, Cam, right? Like, so.
Well, take a look at their team,
Dave. They got a bunch of guys that are going to smoke the ball. They're going to eat the distance up of this Beth Page.
Yeah.
And they don't get fazed by golf courses.
And like another thing is, they have a perfect blend of plotters and bombers. Rory kills the ball. John Rahm kills the ball, right? Shane Lowry. And then you have the guys like Højgaard that just get it around and stuff. You're right. It's actually a really good point by Paul Azinger, because they don't have a significant advantage here at Bethpage Black. I would actually, I dare to say that it helps the Europeans. It's more like a European thing. Get it around. Scottie Scheffler is going to do his thing, Gabe, but how are these guys going to play too? Like, the Europeans have always been tighter. Bryson DeChambeau's back in the mix with these guys. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'll tell you one thing. Europe offers a lot of value. They will not mind Bethpage Black. And I actually think the course suits them better.
I think Europe are going to win, but Rory has not wasted any time. So we remember in the last one with Rory's caddy, and there was a lot of bad blood between everybody. Rory and Bryson do not like each other. DeChambeau is trying to chill it out more, but Rory just doesn't care. And Rory's already stirred the pot basically this week. They asked him yesterday about Bryson playing in the tournament, and what do you think? And he said, I really don't care. He goes, whatever. And he basically said, who cares about the live guys? And he went on to say, he goes, the only time that anybody ever talks about Bryson DeChambeau is if he's talking about me.
That's the best.
And he said, or if he says something dumb about other people. And he goes, he basically said, no one cares about him. Like, he goes, nobody cares about him unless he says something stupid or he's trying to start a feud with me. And he basically said, we'll see what happens this week. Like, guys, I think the Euros are very confident coming into this thing.
They're deep.
I think they're going to like nothing better. Like, they're going to want to beat the U.S. on U.S. soil. And I think they will. But we'll attack this and more on the Wicked Wednesday. And we'll get more. But Banner will join us tomorrow. We'll really get into these the CFL rule changes and all this. But I didn't really think the game. I think the game is fine. Right. It does. So, but it doesn't mean we don't need to tweak a few things here and there. I think the field stuff was for television. Aesthetically, the field looks so big on TV. Mm-hmm. So I think it was for aesthetics on TV. They brought that up as far as the goalpost as well. Aesthetics. Look, how does it look on TV? But okay, fine. The problem is you got a crap ass TV deal on CBS Sports Network, and the teams are getting $200,000, which is nothing. People bet more on that than you're getting from your TV deal. So, like, the commissioner comes in here, like Nate Rourke said, he goes, this guy is a TV executive that's been commissioner for less than a year, and he just changed the rules that have been existed for 120 years. He raised a pretty good point. So, I'm sort of absorbling it all. Like, you know, when I saw it, I really didn't mind it, to be honest with you. We've got to modernize it a bit. So, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with tweaking it and the play clock, this and that. Like, there's some tweaks that I don't mind. The four down stuff for me was the non-starter. So that was the, you know, when I heard major announcement, I was going to, like, really rage. If they went four downs, it would be a massive turnoff for me.
I agree.
For the CFL. Like, you've got, and what I don't like is this commissioner did not dismiss it. They said, so it was four downs. And he said, well, nothing's off the table in the future. No, you should say, no. Well, you know, we could change a lot of things about this league, but we would never go to four downs. That's what he should say. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as I get older, I sort of realized, like, I could flip out. We can do this. And put it this way, guys. The CFL once put teams in Shreveport, Louisiana. We've done stupider things in the CFL than move.
What, the Baltimore CFLers?
Yeah, like
the Sacramento Gold Miners?
Like, we've done stupider things in the CFL than, you know, move
Las
the
Vegas
goal
posse?
Than move the goalpost. Right? So I'm not, like, it's like, all right, this is just another sort of chapter in the league. And also, if you don't, if we don't like something, we can turn it back. My only, my concern would be that to find out like how little consultation the players had. That's what's alarming to me. That, okay, it's one thing if everybody's in agreement with this stuff, but so what? The former head of TSN TV now basically is just going to run the league and not consult with anybody. And I had hopes for this TSN guy when he came in as a commissioner. He was the head of like TSN television. He's a big executive with like CTV Bell Media. He's a big time TV executive. So I thought, all right, they're going to get good TV deals. And you know what I mean? The TV coverage will be better. It's the same crap, right? And we have the same crap on TV. And there hasn't been any TV deals. It's just been they changed the rules, which whatever. But I'm hearing there could be an Amazon Prime deal coming for the CFL, which I'm not even sure is a good thing. But nevertheless, we'll hit this tomorrow and more. Cam will have his all of his Ryder Cup picks ready to go. I'm pretty sure I will. I'm taking Team Europe, but we'll also some other ways to approach this. Thanks to Andrew McKinnis. Thanks to Cam Stewart. Thanks to Rick Saratella. Other than that, you're on your own. We'll see you on the grid later.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.